anything happened?
Oh, looks like Jim got mixed up with some bad apples. Oh, no, 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 no. It wasn't me. I gotta find LaWanda at the alcohol club. Oh.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow Nick at Nick Zeraris, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. All right, let's get into it. Giants, another embarrassing loss. Daniel Jones out for his career. And the Giants are cruising along on their way to number one overall in the choice between Drake and Caleb. Boys, happy Tuesday.
Yes, happy Tuesday indeed. Really, Sunday. So I know your stance, Ethan, but let's look at it from the lens of the Giants for a second, right? Like, we know what we want. The Giants went into Sunday saying, okay, we got our quarterback back. We got our left tackle back. We're healthy. We're 2-6, but let's see. These guys are healthy. Let's see if they can rip off some wins. Let's see where we are come December. Obviously, they knew in the back of their minds that they could potentially be picking high in the draft. I mean, after all, the general manager, the director of player personnel, who's also the nephew of the owner, and the assistant general manager went to USC to watch the Trojans and the Huskies on Saturday. So they're preparing for the likelihood of them being in the top five and potentially drafting a quarterback, among other things. Once the game started right off the bat, I don't know about you guys, but after the first play, I knew this guy wasn't healthy. I mean,
no, he was cooked.
It was painfully obvious. He couldn't complete, you know, an intermediate pass. I said he's not healthy. On top of the fact that he was, you know, bailing on pockets, just didn't look like he looked comfortable at all, confident at all. And then he blew out his knee. That changed everything. Like, regardless who you are, what your opinion of Daniel Jones is, that right there ended all discussion. There's no more, oh, let's see what happens. Maybe we finish respectable record. He plays well, add a couple more people. Like, you know, that same type of excuse we've been hearing over and over and over and over again. That is out the window now. Daniel Jones is out for the year. I don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back. He's now dealt with the season-ending neck injury. He re-injured his neck. He tore up his knee. He's dealt with multiple small little ankle injuries throughout his five-year career. He's only played a full season once. Availability is the greatest what?
Ability.
Yes. So that right there tells you now that regardless what your opinion is of Daniel Jones, and I sympathize with them. It sucks that he, you know, you never want a guy to get hurt. But now everybody knows this team needs a quarterback. It is no longer a, oh, let's wait and see where we are. No, no, no. They need a quarterback now. And ironically, what better time to need a quarterback than this year? This is a highly touted quarterback class.
It was like 2018 all over again.
Highly touted quarterback class. Obviously, we know the top two, but there's some other good ones too. But the New York Giants' need is crystal clear now. This team needs a quarterback. It's no longer wait and see. They're going to be picking high. Regardless where they are in that top five or four, they need to be aggressive in landing a quarterback this offseason because they don't have a quarterback right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, to crystallize your points a little bit here, this is primarily from an organizational perspective that they need a quarterback now. It was obvious to anyone with a set of eyes, you don't even need 20/20 vision because I don't have it. And I knew from the moment they drafted this guy 6th overall that this was not the answer. It was never going to be the answer. And there were glimpses that maybe he could be the answer, but overwhelmingly, losing record, more turnovers than touchdowns, never threw for more than 15 touchdowns in a season. And the only good stretch of football he played was the second half of last year against some of the worst defenses this NFL has seen. So for us and probably a majority of our listenership who, you know, in today's day and age, in echo chambers, you typically just surround yourself with like-minded individuals, probably have agreed with our takes on Daniel Jones for the most part, that they don't believe in him, they don't believe he's the answer. And there are some fans who now are just like, well, shit, with the injury, yeah, I guess you guys are right. And I think that that is, listen, if the organization didn't have the realization after the start of the season when Daniel Jones wasn't even playing well, they sure as hell do now. And eyes towards, when is the draft? May? Eyes towards May, eyes on Drake and Caleb, and let's see how high we can draft. That is it. That is the only goal. I am not asking the players to actively tank. They don't have to. This team is that bad. That's the beauty of it. We can root for the tank, full well knowing that players are still going to try because they're trying to win jobs. They're trying to keep jobs. They're trying to hit incentives. That is obvious. You don't need to tell us that. This team is not good enough. And this year, I mean, Ian Rappaport said it, and I was shocked that someone in his type of position would even go so far as to call this a blessing in disguise, but that's absolutely what it is. Go back to 2018 when the Giants did the one thing that they shouldn't have done and drafted a running back second overall. There were two options that year, two options that any good general manager would have executed: trade back or take a quarterback. And there were some damn good quarterbacks in that draft class. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane know firsthand from drafting Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson, MVP. Baker Mayfield, still in the league and still, you know, he is what he is. He's not a first overall pick.
He's a starter. He's a starter.
Listen, the guy's a starter. So there, very rarely do you get this type of do-over. We know how hard it is to finish with a high enough draft position to get someone of the caliber of Caleb Williams or Drake May. And listen, the Giants are very lucky that after the monumental mistake that was giving Daniel Jones that contract when they should have franchise tagged him and they didn't, they get a do-over. And they get a do-over in maybe the best year ever to have the do-over. I don't see another winnable game on this schedule starting Matt Barkley or Tommy Touchdowns, or I should call him Tommy Tanks, because that's really the objective by putting him under center. Maybe New England, if Bill Belichick is like super incompetent. And I watched part of that game this past weekend, and Mac Jones is bad, 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 bad. But realistically, and I know some of the analytics guys who are putting out mock drafts now are showing it, the Giants are drafting one or two. There's a high likelihood, as I've been saying for weeks, that this team is going to have their pick of the litter. So gear up. We're watching football on Saturdays now. We're watching UNC. We're watching USC. If you're a bit of a sicko, you're probably watching Washington, probably some Michigan for JJ. But this team is drafting a quarterback. That is a fact. It is a certainty. I would bet my life on it. There is going to be a new quarterback under center next year, and they will take him in this draft, hopefully at number one overall.
The question I always had, and I even said this back in the spring when it was, are they going to tag Jones? Are they going to tag Barkley? What are they going to do with their flexibility? Was, if you think your ceiling with a quarterback is he's the 12th or 13th best quarterback, like Jones, probably that was the best case scenario. If everything plays out, he's somewhere between 10 and 13. To win a Super Bowl with that, you need everything around them to be pretty close to perfect. Like, you could win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, with a Jimmy G, with someone in that tier, but everything around them needs to be absolutely perfect. And for the Giants to do that, to get the situation for Jones to be absolutely perfect, would take another 2 or 3 years. I never understood the mindset of...
Or everything to go right. This is how we started the season. The range of this team was, and I was wrong, on the low end, 5 wins. No, it's... realistically too, and obviously a lot of injuries played into that, but you needed Andrew Thomas to stay healthy, you needed John Michael Schmitz to come in day one and be a stud, you needed Evan Neal to take the next step, and we'll talk about Evan Neal because he's gonna be flipping burgers soon. But you're right, Nick, like, this team was missing a lot, and last year helped cover up a lot of issues.
This is what should have happened last year. I know we've said 100%. That a few times,
and you know what, we're lucky it didn't. We're lucky it's happening this year, to be honest. I mean, Yeah, I know we talk about process over results, and last year's process was bad process with bad results, but it lands us in a position to execute good process with probably very good results.
And going off of that, one other thing, we spent two whole seasons of Jones's 5 years in the NFL where the coaching staff was actively scared of him, like he was Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, where they just didn't want to do anything to upset him. If you let him throw the ball, he's going to turn the ball over. So we got to defang our offense entirely, have no big playability, and only throw slants, digs. And like part of that is Jason Garrett just not being a creative individual. But if your quarterback is so untrustworthy with his decision making, you have to run training wheels like a 1990s West Coast offense to keep him on the tracks. And we're going to try and win every game with defense when scoring's never been higher in the NFL. Again, the problem I've always had with the way they've constructed the roster around Jones, and granted, they haven't had a ton of talent in a lot of his time here, but they've always tried to win these games in spite of him, not because of him. The only times they were winning games because of him were against really bad teams where he was able to use his mobility. They were able to get plays, yards after the catch, big plays, stuff like that. But you never really saw him string together consistently strong performances where I felt like I was seeing progress. It was never linear. And granted, quarterback development isn't linear, but it was always so up and down and up and down. And real quick, last thing. What does the Giants medical staff do?
I don't know.
How can you you send Jones into that game? The first throw is a check down to the sideline and he airmails it to the sideline.
Out of bounds.
Like I understand he probably had.
Go ahead. This is why I called BS on the whole neck clearing thing. Like he wasn't healthy, and we found out he wasn't healthy when he got, you know, on the day of the game where he was like, yeah, he's not 100%. So it was obvious that this was a rushed clearance. And again, there's a lot of optics involved and narrative control involved in how they handle injuries when that should not be the case. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And then for him to go back out there after very obviously tearing his ACL.
Yes.
Embarrassing. Insane.
That's a terrible look for the team.
Awful. And this is, you know, this is a Will line, I believe. But if the nicest thing you can say about Daniel Jones is that he's tough, you need a new quarterback.
This is an army. We're not running the triple option.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't need a tough quarterback. I need a quarterback who can throw.
Yeah.
It's a blessing in disguise. I don't mean to sound, you know, messed up, but
fucking everyone is like too afraid to call it how it is. This is a blessing. It's not even in disguise. All right. This is a blessing. The guy just got paid a gajillion fucking dollars. He's fine. He has his golden parachute. He tore his ACL, boo-hoo, in the year of our Lord, 2023. It's like a sprained ankle. He's going to spend 9 months. He's going to get surgery by probably the best surgeons in the country. He's going to get rehab by some of the best rehab people in the country. And his career is not over. He's going to be a backup. He's going to get tossed around the league holding a clipboard for the next 5 to 7 years or until he decides to retire. And he's got $100 million in the bank. I don't know why anyone's feeling sorry for this guy. Like, this is the poison with the Giants fan base. This is the poison with the Giants fan base these days, is that people root for these players instead of the team. I'm a Giants fan. I'm not a Daniel Jones fan. I'm not a Saquon Barkley fan. I support the players in terms of them getting their bag and maximizing their career, but I want to see this fucking team win. It was never happening with Daniel Jones. It probably isn't going to happen with Saquon Barkley. Enough. I want wins. Go get me a quarterback that's capable of winning me games. I'm sorry. I don't feel bad for the guy. I don't.
It's not about. I understand what you're saying, but it's in terms
of the humanity aspect. You feel bad.
No, like yeah. I don't want the Giants to.
I have no humanity.
I don't want the Giants. I don't want the Giants to realize they need a new quarterback by their current starter, basically getting paralyzed in the neck and having his knee torn up. I want them to realize it by the fact that he's just.
You don't think they realize that? Listen, Joe Shane had already visited USC or UNC four times before that.
The mindset of needing a quarterback was the same prior to him getting injured.
I think it was probably very close, and the only holdout would have been John Mara.
Hey, man, John Mara still might be holding out, in all honesty.
If John Mara is not going to let Joe Shane draft his guy, then Joe Shane's probably just going to quit.
They know. They know what they need to do. And the contract, I understand everyone is pointing. The contract is not going to hold the Giants up from drafting a quarterback.
Of course not.
To be the franchise quarterback.
The point is, the guy's got his money, so I have nothing to really feel bad for. This is not like a running back tearing his ACL in a contract year.
Right, right. It's just my whole thing.
It's not like, Dak breaking his ankle in a contract year.
Like it shouldn't take this for them to realize.
And I, truthfully, I don't think it did. I think now it's 100%. Before it was probably like 95.
I hope so, but I just think that they were, let's wait and see where we finish, how we finish, how we play, and then we'll
decide. I get it. We got a little bit of Stockholm syndrome from terrible team management, but.
Oh, I have seen some nasty revisionist history the last few days about, well, how
the discourse come Brian is Dable's, absolutely disgusting.
How come Brian Dable's getting all of this grace and this patience when they ran Joe Judge out of here? Like Joe Judge didn't have them playing terrorist football for the better part of 2 years. Get out of here.
One of the main reasons why Joe Judge got ran out of here is because no competent general manager wanted him around. That's when they realized, oh, we got to fire this guy.
Listen, I think this is way more true for general managers than it is for head coaches. If you finally get a general manager job and you like really fuck it up, you're not getting another shot. There are plenty of head coaches who do a poor job.
Hugh Jackson got 4 years.
And will get other opportunities around the league. You will never see Joe Judge sniff a head coaching job again. The guy was wildly underqualified. Yeah. He proved that he was wildly underqualified. He will never sniff, have an interview, be even in the same building as a head coaching interview that is occurring. Okay. End of story. Bad head coach. Everyone knows it. Everyone saw it. Will's probably bleeding from the ears right now. Don't care. He stinks. Done. No more Joe Judge. No more comparisons to Brian Dable, who took an awful roster last year and made it to the playoffs with a guy who has now shown that he is not a good starting quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the strange part about it, is this, the dialogue around the general manager. First of all, the general manager, this is his first real offseason. I mean, last year he didn't have anything to work with. This year he has something to work with. And look, there's some draft picks that we can question, but you don't fire a general manager after 2 years. Like, it's no. That's just not how teams operate. And you got to give them more time. And they will, because I think this ownership is a lot more patient with this regime. And then, you know, all eyes now turn to April. But I want to ask you guys, there is still 9 games left.
Unfortunately.
What is the point? Is there 9 or 8 games? They're 2 and 7. There's 8 games.
7. Yeah.
8 games. Yeah. 8 games left. What exactly is the point outside of, hey, just lose and get the number one pick? Like, what is there anything you want to see?
The young guys. I just want to see guys play. You bring in guys off the street, practice squad guys. If you can turn a practice squad corner into a special teams guy, sure. You can turn a third linebacker into a special teams guy, sure. That's all this is for. That's what they were talking about in regards to, I forget who on the Raiders was talking about it, but during the lead up to the week, they were like, well, yeah, we don't have a great record right now. We're probably not going to make the playoffs, but there's guys on this team who can make this team next year. And if we play hard, Antonio Pierce will vouch for us. And even if he's not the head coach, if we play well and we earn roster spots, the organization will notice that. It's the same thing here with the Giants. Micah McFadden.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of the Raiders and Antonio Pierce, like, what did people expect? The guy is a player's coach. It's never been more obvious. It was obvious in college. It was obvious. It was on display Sunday. Like, The information that came out from Jay Glazer.
Yeah.
That was a Wesley Steinberg tweet.
It was.
I had to verify that 5 times. I mean, talk about people that are wildly underqualified. Josh McDaniels needs therapy. Like, I genuinely don't know what that was. That was insane. And so disliked that when they had the meeting that players were unloading on him, obviously telling. So listen, this team was going to come out and play their balls off for AP. That was obvious from the get-go. So I don't care that they just fired their head coach. They benched their quarterback who was awful the week before. Like, this is a team that was going to come out. They were going to play hard. Players coach. And as far as the Giants, listen, the wheels could have come off weeks ago. Like, this is not something that I'm worried about. We all know that Xavier McKinney is a clown.
We have to talk about Xavier McKinney.
We'll talk about him. We could talk about him right now. Listen, it was a clown comment. But again, you're a professional. There are guys in the room who are still playing hard. It's on display every single week. No one's giving up. You're not hearing these comments coming out of the locker room about dissent against the coaching staff or the general manager outside of Xavier McKinney, who, again, we know is a clown. So, like, talk about losing the locker room. No. Like, that would have happened weeks ago.
Well, this is
I understand, like, these feelings build over the course of a season, but if it hasn't happened yet, I don't see it happening. Like, there were so many instances around the league where you could have seen this happening. The Raiders is an obvious one. Well, the Jets, I'm shocked the Jets didn't lose the locker room.
That's what McKinney said. I think from a leadership standpoint, I don't think they've done a great job of letting leaders lead. That's in regards to the coaching. I don't think they've done a great job of letting the leaders lead and listening to the leaders and the captains. It's
what, are they going to let you lead, Xavier? A fucking ATV tour?
It's one of those things where you have some of your leaders, captains from a defensive standpoint, trying to switch things up and not just being, not just really being heard. When you've got guys out there that are playing and seeing things different and are being vocal and communicating that with the coaches and whoever and are not being heard, it's hard to go out there and be able to make plays and do things of that nature.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to listen to Wink over Xavier McKinney.
I think, and then Andrew Thomas, who, by the way, is a leader in the locker room, who you'd never see come out like this, came out and said, in regards to what McKinney said, he said, honestly, it sucks, but I don't know, man. I really don't have many words. I think from a leadership standpoint, I don't think, oh, no, sorry, that's what McKinney said. And then this is what Andrew Thomas said. I'm sorry. I would say that you have to ask Xavier that. I don't know exactly where he's coming from or where he's feeling that. But for me personally, Andrew Thomas, I think we've done, I think we do a good job of just being able to communicate with the staff, the coaching staff, anything we need or any of our frustrations or whatever, any questions we have. I feel like they, the coaching staff, are pretty open.
Again, McKinney is a clown.
This is why you don't have 15 captains.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. He's a fake captain. Loses its meaning.
Yeah, and number two, I think a lot of Xavier
McKinney's... He's not a leader. What is he leading?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of his frustration is stemmed from the fact that his contract has probably... Negotiations aren't going anywhere.
Yeah,
maybe they haven't been willing to negotiate with him. But I don't think Xavier McKinney's comments... Xavier McKinney doesn't have the equity that Brian Daboll has.
Correct.
Or Wink Martindale has.
Or literally any other captain, including Saquon.
Yeah. I don't. And McKinney is just a guy that I can literally not wait until he's off this team.
Same.
I don't think he's a great player. I think he's a good player. I don't think he'll be missed. I think his production is easily replaced. I don't think he's a leader. I see right through his BS. I know why he's mad. Like I said, it's more related to him than this whole communicating with the coaching staff bullshit. They took the green dot from him and gave it to Bobby Okereke. That should tell you what they think about his ability to communicate with the rest of the team. So I don't believe anything he says. I think he's speaking from a selfish standpoint. And 9-8 games left, I can't wait till this thing ends because he's just not a guy I would want a leader in my locker room. Sorry. I don't care what his background is or how good you might think he is. Not a fucking leader.
Got an F-bomb from Weiss.
Yeah. Sorry. These type of guys come around a lot. These guys that think that they're leaders. I don't care how many clips the Giants tweet out of him breaking down huddles. The guy is not a leader. You can tell. He's a phony. He's a fraud. We saw it last year during the bye week. That's not what leaders do. Did Michael Strahan do that? Did Justin Tuck do that? Did Osu Mainura do that? No. He's a fraud.
Antonio Pierce do that? No.
He's a phony. He's a fraud. He's been a fraud. 2 years ago, he criticized Joe Judge's staff. Okay, we let that go because we saw the incompetence with Joe Judge's staff. Now he's saying the same thing. Now, all of a sudden, this coaching staff is wrong too? Come on. He's a fraud. He's a phony. He's a loser. He's one of those loser players that I was talking about earlier.
There it is.
That they need to get rid of.
There it is.
And I can't wait until they get rid of him. It's just, you don't need people. People like that ruin locker rooms.
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
Those are the type of players that you don't want around your young players. Those are the guys that ruin your locker room, that create the drama, that create the tension, that leak stuff out to the media. Those are the guys. And 9 times out of 10, they're not doing it because it's beneficial to the team. They have some gripe selfishly with the team. And in this case, McKinney's problem is the fact the Giants have not shown interest in giving him a contract extension. And quite frankly, they shouldn't. So he doesn't deserve to be one of the highest paid safeties in the NFL. And that's what he's probably going to be looking for. So hopefully he gets it somewhere else. And at the end of this, at the end of the year, they can shake his hand, tell him thanks for everything and go their separate ways.
Amen. It's part of why they need to turn the roster over. We talked about it coming into this season that they still needed probably at least one to two more off seasons. They got to get all these guys who've known nothing but losing out of here. These are guys who have just been in the shit for 3-4 years and never.
And not even that, Nick. Not just guys who know nothing but losing, but guys who are just so mentally weak that they're incapable of flipping that switch.
Yeah.
So, good riddance.
I would keep Saquon Barkley over him in a heartbeat. I think Saquon's a genuine leader of the team.
Yeah. The team responds to Saquon. He's selfish in
a different aspect, but whatever.
Yes.
McKinney is just...
Saquon's a loser.
I don't think he's... I think the issue... I'm not going to make this about Saquon, but McKinney can be off this team. I would have rather kept Leonard Williams than Xavier McKinney. That's how much I think McKinney is just...
We're talking strictly from narrative or what? I mean,
overall, sure.
Because Xavier McKinney's not getting you a second and a fifth.
No, I understand what you're saying, but my point is that I'd rather have a guy like Leonard Williams in the locker room than a guy like Xavier McKinney. Sure. McKinney is not somebody that Giant fans need to be like, he's right, we need to... No, he's a fraud, he's a phony, and I can't wait for him to be off this team. And I don't care what he does in the final 9 games of the season.
Amen.
You can go on Twitter and see his effort out there and tell me what is it coaching or is it him? Come on.
Please. You think they're going to bother bringing Tyrod Taylor back or not? Because I know that's been a little bit of conversation this week, is when he's eligible to come off of IR. Do you think they bother activating him again, or are they play it out with Barkley?
Well, he can't play until the bye week, right?
Yeah, so three more weeks. He's out 3 more weeks.
So they got Dallas this week. It can be a break. And then they got the Commanders, I think, the week after, right? Yeah. And then they go the Patriots. So there's a good chance that by the bye week, they're either 3-9 or 2-10, right? At that point, first of all, we don't know if he's going to be healthy. He spent the night in the hospital. Brian Daboll said he's sore. So we really don't know how severe his injury is. But what's the point? What's the point?
You're 2-10. Hey, bro, this is a team that's... for every time I was sore, man, my insurance would kick me off.
But this is the same team that had a guy who very clearly was still dinged up rushing back to play for a 2-6 team. Like,
no, I'll tell you why he's not coming
different.
Back. Yeah, because it gets to that point where after missing out on CJ Stroud, after scouting him for the first 5 weeks of the season, listen, last week, sure, you want to rush Daniel Jones back and pray you get to 3-6 and you got, you know, New England coming up and you got the Commanders coming up and you want to see what happens. I don't agree with it. Far from it, but I can understand it. You get to a place where, what are they? They're 2-7 now. They're going to be hopefully 2-10. The tank is on. Joe Shane knows it. Brian Daboll knows it. This is not the time to have Tyrod Taylor, a fucking 31-year-old journeyman, win you a game. Tyrod is done. He's not coming back this year. 34.
Yeah.
Whatever. Tyrod's done. He's not coming back. Injury, healthy, whatever. He's done. It's going to be the Tommy Tank show and the Matt Barkley show from here on out, and that's the way it should be.
Maybe Jacob Eason, too. Don't leave him out here. God,
bring back Jake Fromm.
The Giants have Jacob Eason?
Well, they're working him out, and they're probably going to sign him to the practice squad.
I remember him. He had a lot of potential.
Where did he play? Like Eastern Illinois or some
Washington.
Okay. Washington. He had a cannon in college, and then he transferred somewhere else once he lost the starting job, and he was never heard from again.
Yeah. I hope I never hear from him again.
I think your best bet is, realistically speaking, you let Tommy DeVito play.
Until he dies against Dallas.
And then you just see
they're gonna need another quarterback.
Yeah, Parsons is gonna murder him.
Well, I actually think their offensive line was pretty good against the Raiders.
Micah Parsons is going to murder Tommy DeVito.
Max Crosby had like 9 pressures and 3 sacks by himself. The Raiders had like 10.
They gave up 9 sacks, but I think only 3 were tallied, or 2 were tallied to the offensive line's fault.
Dallas is 5 times defensive.
Oh, line. I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of, can we talk about Evan Neal?
Oh God, bro. He broke his ankle getting cooked.
Yeah.
He got bullied
into breaking his ankle.
He got pushed back so hard he stepped down and broke his ankle.
I forgot he's now gonna be out too for some time. He got an ankle sprain. Look, Evan Neal, I mean,
I will be booing him at the Willowbrook Mall.
Think about it. I mean, outside of Daniel Jones, who's had a rougher season for the Giants than Evan Neal?
Him. I
mean, yeah. It's.
I mean, he's done it right tackle. I feel very confident in saying that.
I'm not saying that yet because I think they need an offensive line coach. I really do think that, guys.
I think they'll move him to guard and they'll take a tackle in the second or third round next year.
I hope they don't do that. Not yet.
Well, listen, we'll have an answer well before the start of training camp next year.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We'll have an answer. We know the answer is not Evan Neal.
I saw firsthand Tyree Phillips looked worse than Matt Peart at training camp.
Yep.
He goes to Philadelphia. 6 weeks later, he comes back as a, playable tackle. That's all I'm saying.
We might need to get our own Connor Stallions and get him into Eagles practice and just watch the offensive line.
Tyree Phillips.
You could do it with that mustache. You just go there. I could. Put an Eagles hat on.
Sunglasses.
Matt Peart, who I don't think is NFL caliber tackle. I don't think it's
framed. He's not.
He looked more like an offensive tackle than Tyree Phillips, which was crazy because we all thought Tyree was the swing tackle. We were like, hey, they got a good swing tackle on Tyree Phillips. Then Tyree Phillips was a terrible camp, goes to Philadelphia, comes back, and all of a sudden he's, a playable tackle again. So they need a new offensive line coach. That's one of the things that I'm so on board with. It cannot be Bobby Johnson. They can't give up. Evan Neal, despite what everyone thinks about him, was a blue chip prospect coming out. I don't know what happened. Maybe he's not a tackle in the NFL, but I'm not ready to say that yet. They need a better offensive line coach to work with that young guy. And not just him, but Josh Azudu, Marcus McKeaton, and all these other young guys that they are going to bring in on the offensive line this offseason.
They do need to overhaul some things. Special teams would be also nice. Offensive line coach.
Because everyone says throw high picks at offensive line. Well, they did that with Evan Neal, and you're seeing what's happened. So everyone's like, well, let's go drop, the Notre Dame tackle or the Penn State tackle or whatever. It's like
the Penn State tackle's legit. Olu Fashanu, he's legit. He's given up one pressure all year.
I get it, but coaching and developing and scouting, and that matters.
It
very
does
much. And you can't just keep waiting around forever a generational tackle to come around that you can draft, and that's how you're gonna build your offensive line. You got to be able to draft. You got to be able to develop. You got to be able to coach. Giants can't do two of those three things, maybe three of those three things. And they got to fix their offensive line room, because that's Bobby Johnson, ain't it?
We'll see. We'll see about all coaching staff changes.
Favorite part of the show, Tankathon.
You got it pulled up?
I got the schedules up.
All right. So real before we get into the scheduling, the draft order is 1. Arizona. Is the Arizona Cardinals. 2 is the Carolina Panthers, whose pick belongs to Ethan?
The Chicago Bears.
Correct. And 3 is the Chicago Bears, and 4 is the New York Giants. All right. Nick, before we get into the schedule, Ethan, who do we root for Thursday night? Carolina or Chicago?
I tweeted this.
You did?
It's really tough for me. I'm sure that there is a correct answer that someone here is going to provide me. My head says you just root for the Bears. Bears get out of that second, third spot, concede it to the Giants. You just accept your fate that the Carolina Panthers are awful, that they are going to be giving that pick to the Bears, and then you let the Bears do what they do. You hope Fields plays good enough down the stretch. If not, then they get their pick of the litter and you get the second, which between Drake and Caleb, it's not the worst thing in the world. My heart is rooting for the Panthers because I love chaos. Get them a win, see where it goes. But I don't know. It's tough. I'll be tuned in.
Nick, can you tell me what the Panthers' remaining schedule is?
They play at the Bears on Thursday Night Football. Okay. The Cowboys go to Carolina.
That's a loss.
They go to the Titans, the Bucks, and the Saints all on the road.
Yikes.
They
maybe could, the Titans.
I could see maybe against Tennessee, depending on how Will Levis plays. I could see maybe.
Maybe Tampa. Todd Bowles is
I could see Tampa. Tampa's offense has really been having a rough go of it. Then they have Atlanta and Green Bay at home. They could beat Green Bay. Green Bay stinks.
So they got a fairly, they got some winnable games there if they can get their head out of their ass. They can maybe.
All, in all honesty, Arizona has the hardest schedule left, which hurts the Giants in that respect, because I could see them going in on the quarterback or auctioning off their pick.
Well, here comes Kyler Murray. Here comes James Conner. Here comes a healthy Arizona and team. Was competitive with Josh Dobbs, by the way.
Yeah, Carolina rounds out with Jacksonville at Jacksonville, and then they play Tampa again. So
Arizona plays Atlanta this week, right?
Yes, Arizona plays Atlanta, Houston, the Rams, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, the Bears, the Eagles, the Seahawks. Arizona's got the hardest schedule of the five, in my opinion.
So the one thing going for the Giants is with Arizona is the draft order doesn't care about head-to-head matchups. It looks at strength of schedule. Right. Right now, Arizona has the higher strength of schedule, meaning if Arizona and the Giants have the same record, the Giants get the tiebreak and get the higher pick.
Yep.
So hypothetically speaking, let's focus on this week. Let's say Carolina wins, Arizona wins, right? Carolina's 2-7, Chicago's 2-8, the Giants are 2-8, Arizona's 2-8. The Giants would move to 3. They'll get one step ahead. Let's say Chicago wins. Then that means that in Arizona loses and the Giants lose. Arizona and the Giants are 2-8. Giants get the tiebreaker. So the Giants, the best they can do at the end of this week is get to number 3, which is one step closer.
1 week at a time.
Yes. So I don't know what Chicago, Carolina. I guess it's a win-win for the Giants, maybe.
No matter what, it's going to help the Giants slightly.
Yes.
It helps more if Chicago wins a game, but it ultimately, it does help the Giants no matter what, because one of the two picks is getting a win. One of the two Bears picks is getting a win.
And I've said, you know, the best worst case for the Giants is that the Bears wind up with both 1-2 and the Giants wind up with 3. Because then
I like that. Yeah.
Because then it's a real easy trade up to number 2 with the Bears getting exactly who they would have gotten at 2 at 3. And they also get some picks back. So, you know, not as ideal because you're going to have to give up a few seconds probably, but, you know, not the worst thing in the world. I think that the Giants would then become the ideal trade partner for the Bears.
If Tommy DeVito continues to start for the New York Giants will not win another game.
Correct.
Agreed.
They go at Dallas, at Washington, versus New England, versus Green Bay.
They could beat New England with DeVito. I think they could win a game like 6-3. I really do think they could win a game like 6-3. The New England offense is non-functional too.
Tommy DeVito can't read a defense. Like he.
Oh, I know.
He's like that's Zach Wilson.
You just have to hope that Bill's got him in hell.
Yeah.
So that New England game on November 26th, we're going to circle that because that could potentially be very big for the tank.
Circle it right now. Absolutely. That is a huge game.
Yes. And then we'll add in New England schedule too, because they do have the 5th pick. New England goes to Germany to play the Colts. I think they're going to win that game.
Yeah, that's winnable.
Then they have a bye. And then they go at the Giants, Bill coming out of a bye week, you know, Tommy DeVito.
True. Okay.
Yeah. And then they got the Chargers, Pittsburgh, KC at Denver, at Buffalo versus the New York Jets.
Yikes.
I see maybe 2 wins, including the Giants.
Yeah. Bad teams this year.
Yeah. So you got to keep an eye on those 2-7 New England Patriots, man. That's one we cannot forget. But, like I said, as long as Tommy DeVito is starting at quarterback, and this is not wishful thinking, I do not think that the Giants won another game. They just got blown out by a team that was starting Aiden O'Connell that wasn't really good coming into it. On top of the fact, I love Antonio Pierce. Great guy, rooting for him. Easy guy to root for. But he wasn't exactly good at Arizona State as like a positional coach.
Dude, they didn't fire their head. They didn't fire their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator. Like everything was still intact, except the guys actually wanted to play hard.
No, they did fire their offensive coordinator.
Did they?
Yeah, Mick Lombardo is Lombardi's his name. Yeah, they did fire
him. Okay, interesting.
It is a new play caller, but nonetheless, the Giants didn't even belong. They got undressed by the Raiders. Like, it wasn't even like a, and it wasn't even like, oh, well, they're dealing with injuries. Like, everybody was healthy, and they, for the most part, and they got undressed. So people keep looking at, oh, people, not, they are not winning another game with Tommy DeVito at quarterback.
God will.
And I won't be surprised if Matt Barkley's not starting sooner than
later. I think Matt Barkley will get at least one start this year. I think DeVito's just going to get his shit rocked at some point, and they're going to have to bring in a fourth quarterback.
Post bye week, I think, is the Matt Barkley show going forward. But I think John Mara, Joe Shane, and Brian Daboll are going to embrace the tank. And the sign of that is going to be when they keep Tyrod Taylor on injured reserve.
Yes, exactly.
We don't want to subject Tyrod to this. He's had a long, decorated career. Yeah, we want to make sure that next year, if he wants to keep playing, he's in okay shape. Yeah.
Because if Tyrod comes back, I do think they're going to win some of these games late. I do, unfortunately. Green Bay, New Orleans.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, they don't want that.
So, yes.
We're going to learn real quick.
Yeah, I think that first sign is going to be when they don't bring Tyrod Taylor off injured reserve.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, that's Tankathon. We'll do it again next week, right?
Do it again every week.
Yes.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
Yep. Wrap us up, Ethan.
Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a good review. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.